Would you pray with me? Most gracious and loving God, we praise your name and we give thanks for this day that you have given to us. We give thanks for the word and the message that comes to us. We pray as we contemplate the word today that your spirit would be upon us, that you would give us insights as to how we can be lights in the world, lights of the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, nobody puts a light in a basket. I would think that if you put a candle in a basket, it would burn the top of the basket and force its way through. But certainly you don't put it under a bowl. And I think that he's talking to us saying we are to be visible Christians. It's something we talk about a lot. It's preached about a lot. The idea that we need to be visible in the world as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Ways that we can do that, ways that we can reach out to others. I think that in the last part of the 20th century and even into the 21st century, one of the problems we've had is that the church buildings are what we thought would be the light for people. We build a big edifice, big church, and then people go by, and that should reflect the light of Jesus Christ. We think, okay, we can go ahead and give to the church and tithe and give special offerings and let the church go do the ministry part of it. Let them go out and take care of the poor. Let the church go out and spread the gospel message. I've done my part. I gave my money. I supported the church. That's all I need to do. And then we can go from Sunday to Saturday and do whatever we want to do. I would suggest to you that first of all, we've misdefined church. Church is us. It's not a place. Church is not a building, although there may be sanctuaries for us to come together to worship. Because we know we're being persecuted. We know there are people that are going to put us down. We know there are people that are going to say, oh, that you just, we don't even want to talk about religion. We don't want to talk about Jesus Christ. We don't want to talk about the hope for the world being in salvation. We want to talk about the hope of the world being in other things. And we can almost see that if we think about Star Trek. I was thinking about it last night. I thought, you know, Star Trek came on. They had this 5-year mission to go and explore planets, go to places that man has never been before. And what came out of Star Trek? We got cell phones. Somebody said, hey, those are neat, those communicators they've got. We've got cell phones. And we got, with the second Star Trek, we got the, you know, where they just touch it and talk. Now we've got Bluetooth, we touch it and talk. We hear. So all these things came out of Star Trek. What we need to remember also is that Star Trek was only 3 years of its 5-year mission. And if you take and say, so what Star Trek taught us in 3 years, think about what Jesus taught us in 3 years. And what Jesus taught us was that we're supposed to be lights to the world. Forget the gadgets. It doesn't take gadgets. It takes words. It takes action. And maybe the strongest place in the Bible that it talks about it is in the book of James. And I'm going to share this with you now. This is from James 2, 14 through 26. What good is it, my brother and sister, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even demons believe that there's one God, but they shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence of faith without deeds? It's useless. Was not our father Abraham considered a righteous man for what he did? And when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that was faith, and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed in God and was credited to him as being righteous. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, even Rahab the prostitute was considered righteous for what she did when she gave the lodging, gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. It's strong. We have the faith of Jesus Christ, the Spirit in us. We have the faith of Jesus Christ saying we are saved, that there is eternal life for us. But just having the faith and not putting that faith into action, that's nothing. It says we may feel righteous, but where is our righteousness to the world? Where is the righteousness to our brothers and sisters? Where are the righteousness to each other? We can't just simply pay for it and have someone else do it. The scriptures tell us that we must reach out ourselves. We must reach out to the person who's naked, the person that's hungry. And we need to reach out to them and help them ourselves. Now, we may not be able to help them totally, but we can certainly pray with them. We don't just walk by and say, well, God bless you, I hope everything works out, and you have a great day, I'm going down here. I can't help but use Ruth. I'm sorry. I can't help but use my mother-in-law. Here's a woman that witnessed her whole life. When she saw somebody that was crying, she sat down with them and talked to them about Jesus Christ. I mean, it was almost too much for me, the way that she went. If she saw someone who was in need, she got on the phone and found somebody that would help them. She got up every morning, she and Paul, and Priscilla talks about it happening when she was 5 years old, and they got down on their knees in front of the couch and prayed for people. Prayer is an action, praying for others. They prayed for people, they prayed for our country, they prayed for each other, they prayed for their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. They prayed for their church, the people. They prayed that God would show them that day someone that they could witness to by an action. And she was just, that's where her day went. And she was happy about it. You were happy to hear from her. I can't tell you how many times she witnessed to me because of something I did. So, whoa, Tony, be careful. Yes, ma'am. I will, Ruth. She was a person who just had 90 pounds of faith going down the street. And her husband, by her hand, she converted her husband. He was not a Christian before he knew her. It took, 3 months before they got married? But she wouldn't marry him until he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. And from that time on, he followed the path. Now, part of witnessing is helping others to witness also. We don't have to do it together. Go two by two. Say, oh, I saw this person over here that needed help. And I stopped and I gave them a prayer. And I know that you've been knitting socks. And can I get some knitted socks to give to this person in the name of Jesus Christ? Think about it. It's not hard. We make new friends. We don't have to beat them with a Bible. That's what everybody thinks chaplains do. We only need to stop, hold somebody's hand, and talk to them, to give them comfort. We only need to reach out to somebody and say, there is help out there. Let me help you find the help. Or to help them ourselves. Let me call the outreach people at church and tell them that this person needs a meal. or let me reach my pocket, pull out $5 and take you in to buy you a Happy Meal. But go with them. Worry about they're going to buy cigarettes or drink. Go with them. Come on, we'll go in and buy you something to eat right now. And while we're sitting here, I want you to know I'm going to pray for you. I want to learn about you. And I want to invite you to become a member here. I want to invite you to reach out to someone else. I don't know if I've shared the story about the prostitutes. I had my first call to the church. Have I shared this? My first call to the church was a church that was in disputed territory between the Crips and the Bloods. We had two crack houses up the block, and the Red Light District was just next street over, and that's where all the prostitutes, what did I say, plied their wares. I don't know what else to say. And we started out by ministering to the children. We said, we're going to have a Halloween party. Why don't you come to that? We got them in the church. Place, safe place to be. So we always had things going for the children in the area because a lot of them were in really not homes that they should have been in. They needed another home. But many of them were the sons and daughters of these prostitutes. Sons and daughters of the Crips and the Bloods. But they weren't welcome in the church because the mother was a prostitute. They weren't welcome in the church building because the fact that one of the parents was black or one of the parents was white. Black church didn't want them. White church didn't want them. We just opened the doors. Suddenly we had prostitutes that were joining the church. Then we said, we want to help you, but financially we can't get you out of what you're doing. And they're saying, well, we get a little bit of welfare, but if I go to McDonald's and go to work, I still have to do this. And so rather than condemn them, we did everything we could to move them into a different life style. And here we were on Easter Sunday, the congregation, there were 37 in the congregation, they all lived in the suburbs, Easter week, I should say. And nobody came in, but all the prostitutes came in and helped dye the Easter eggs. And witnessed to them then. And they were witnessing to each other how great it was to have a sanctuary, that they were safe, that somebody wasn't going to get stabbed or beaten. Somebody wasn't going to get killed. To have that place. The multiracial children and families or children, their parents come in. It's so nice to have a place where I can talk, where I'm allowed to be here. It's a witness. And so one time that we actually had, I could say that the church became the witness rather than the congregation. However, these people became the congregation and became the witness outside. Now, it's hard as a pastor to have a prostitute call you up and say, I had a date last night. I know what that is. And he had 50 pounds of a sack of potatoes extra on his truck. Where do I take it? Now, think about it. I know I'm sinning. I can't get out of this. I'm in a lifestyle that is sin. I can't get out of it. But I still need this worship to the Lord. Nicorea. I still need to do action for the Lord. Think of Abraham. Our actions, our deeds mean something. We have the faith. We can talk about Jesus Christ, but we need to do something. The actions are a major portion of our salvation. Because if we are saved and we hold it inside us like a lamp, bucket over my head, and I do nothing with it, it's wasted. I shouldn't say it's wasted. I have it. You can't have mine. But I wonder if I'm really saved. Because the leadership of Jesus Christ is we reach out to all people. We reach out to the divorcee, divorcer. We reach out to the person who is in a profession that may not be quite what it should be. We reach out to people who have no other place to go. We reach out to people who may never come to this church, but will remember Jesus Christ's name because of something we did. And it's not I did, we as the people did. Because whatever I do reflects on you. Whatever you do reflects on me. Whatever we do reflects on Jesus Christ. And what a yoke that is to take on. Having accepted the Holy Spirit, then realizing that the work of Christ is something that may be hard for us. We can all find something to do. Go to Tidewell and address envelopes for them. Do something. Reach out to people you see on the street. Reach out to people at work. I can't tell you how many people at work that I regularly pray with because they've just almost had enough. They're stressed out. Then we get them help so they can continue to do their work. Reach out. Walk with Christ. He's there to help you. The Holy Spirit's there to help you. The Holy Spirit's there to make things right. Somebody, try to help somebody. Get away from me. I don't want anything to do with you. The seed's been planted. We've done what needed to be done. You reach out and you touch somebody. Oh, I used to go to church and I was so much happier. Let me help you be happy again. My mother went to church, and I didn't like the church she went to. They were a bunch of hypocrites. Well, don't worry about that, because the church is the people, and you're the one that needs to just worry about your faith and your good actions. We can talk to people about things like that. That church in Denver, we had gone from 37 membership to 129, something like that. And 3 weeks before Christmas, they had a board meeting and called me in and told me all these people weren't really members of the church. What do I do? And there were a number of people in the church that beforehand that said, if that's true, we won't come back. These were part of the 37. They thought the ministry we were doing was great. I had to tell them that my resignation would be effective Christmas Day. Is that you or me? I'm sorry, Lord. But I did. And those 100 people, plus or minus, never came back. And the church is now a condominium. The building's a condominium. At least it's serving its purpose. Okay? Hopefully the seeds that we planted in the others helped them to go a different way than they were going. It's not up to me to worry about it. But, well, I pray for them. But it's not up to me to go out and say, did you go the way you wanted to go? That's up to Christ, the judge. He will judge the people that we speak to, the people that we touch. He will judge us. And the Holy Spirit says that we will be judged as righteous. I don't know what else I can say about it other than the fact that we need to try. That trying is valuable. And it is seen. And it does have effects. If we don't try, might as well put the bucket over our head. Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, we praise your name and we give thanks. We give thanks for the work you call us to, that not only our faith that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit through of Jesus Christ our Lord, but also our deeds count. You call us to work. And Lord, Jesus said, take up the yoke, for it is light. And it has no weight. And Lord, just give us the work to do. Point out the people we need to see, the people we need to help. Point out the places that we can indeed show that we are Christians, that we are in the life of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.